This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 198 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded Saturday, the 21st of July, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And usual hosts, of course, is Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jason from Tech AU.
Hooray. Hey, Steve, how are you, mate?
Pretty good.
That's the way. What have you been up to, mate? Any exciting news you want to mention?
I'd say exciting, at least on my end. It was just a bunch of personal stuff I had to take care of. You know, it was getting backed up, and that was about it, really.
All right. All right. We've got Jody back on. Hey, Jody.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
All right.
I'm well.
Good stuff. And we've just got Jason from TechAU on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, mate. Glad how are you? Welcome back. Welcome back. You haven't been on for a while.
I know, it's been too long.
It has. All right, we'll have a chat to you shortly, and also we have Robert from the Tonight app.
Hey, how you going?
How you going, mate? So, yeah, we'll have a chat to you in a minute about that app. An update came through not long ago, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So just this morning, we can chat all about it.
Cool, cool. All right, so, Jade, let's jump into the news stories. What's been happening in the news?
Well, first, I think it would be appropriate to say in the United States, we had a very large incident that occurred this morning, and we wanted to send a heartfelt prayer out to the families of the victims in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. There's no words to describe how horrific it is, and all of us here at Tech Webcast wish sincere condolences to those families. And I know you guys join me in that sentiment.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, for sure. That's really, really bad what happened at the cinema. That guy went in.
Well, I just felt it was appropriate to at least acknowledge. And in any case, in the news this week, actually today, Google acquired Sparrow.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Sparrow evidently has a much better integration with the iOS applications. And the conjecture is that Google was interested in purchasing or acquiring Sparrow specifically for the iOS and OS X integration, hopefully to kind of put a chink in the armor of the Apple Mail. And I'm curious what you guys think about this acquisition on behalf of Google.
Let's ask Jason.
Yeah, very interesting that Google was the one to pick them up. You'd expect that... they were really getting a lot of attention in the mail space, and Apple should have been the ones that acquired them. But, Google have beaten them to the punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Steve, what's your view on this?
Actually, this is kind of a new one to me. I did see some news on it. I didn't have a chance to read it yet. So it seems that's kind of how I guess Google's going to get into Apple's back door, I guess, so to speak.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll just have to improve the app more, but I don't know what they're going to do with the app, but yeah.
You'd at least expect an Android version of it, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, for sure. Do you use it, Jason, or?
It's not my primary, but I have used it before. Okay. It's really slick. You know, all the swipe gestures and stuff just make it very different than the default mail app.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, really good. They're actually going to bring out, they were going to put it out on the iPad, but that probably won't happen now, so it's not good. And what about you, Robert? Do you use this app?
I haven't actually used Sparrow. I think it's interesting, though. It's probably just part of a general trend of those two companies just doing battle on every front.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right. And what about you, Jody?
I haven't used it. I'm on a Mac, so typically, or on my iPhone or iPad. So that being said, up to this point, although I do use Google Gmail, typically I use Apple Mail before I would use the Gmail. So this may open up a different world for me. So we'll see.
All right. Cool.
I will report back.
Good stuff. All right.
Okay. Next in the news, evidently Firefox had a huge update and they fixed 5 critical security vulnerabilities. You know, as you guys know, Firefox is it has a lot of extensions and browsers, but a lot of people like it more so than perhaps Chrome, or maybe some people prefer Chrome or Bing. I'm just curious what you guys think about the updates. Have you tried it since they've released the new Firefox?
Yeah, I have. I've used it since it's been. It's good update.
Do you notice any difference? Is it faster?
Yeah, it's faster. There's not many crashes anymore, and yeah, looks great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody?
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, look, personally, I moved from Firefox to Chrome a while ago. Okay. And also like the later versions of IE as well, so IE 10, because I'm running Windows 8 as my primary OS at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I, as a web developer, I have every browser installed, but Firefox is probably one of the ones I go into less than, now that Chrome is really taking the primary position, if you like.
Cool. Have you used Chrome on the iPad yet?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a really nice experience.
Mm, very nice. Very nice. And what about you, Steve?
I used to be a big Firefox user. I primarily used it on Linux system, which is actually was my main system. Now that I kind of moved to Mac, I think I like Google Chrome. It's just more polished, it seems, on the Mac interface. I still use it for like downloading videos through the Download Helper extension. So I haven't seen any really updates to that, but I'll be interested to find out and try it out.
All right, good stuff, Jody.
Okay, well, another interesting story. You know, the Olympics are going to be starting soon, and here in the U.S., over 40% of U.S. adults are set to stream the Olympics on mobile. Mobile has become an incredible force to reckon with, and I know you guys, well, we have a tech webcast app that's a mobile app, and I'm curious, you know, are you ready to stream the Olympics? Are you going to be watching it on mobile, or are you going to be watching it on TV or your PC?
Well, I'm actually glad you brought this up, Jada, because I am already. I just got the Foxtel up on my iPad, and I got the Foxtel on Xbox, and I'm all set.
Cool.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Are you ready for the Olympics?
I kind of like. I'm actually big on the Winter Olympics more so than the the summer version. But I don't know. I'm not a big mobile app watching video.
Really?
I usually probably because I prefer a computer just because just through a wired interface. Then, because if you're using a mobile, then you got to worry about battery power, reception, and a few other problems, and versus maybe watching it at home. But that's just me. Obviously, for other people, it'll probably be more convenient. They might be at work or wherever and can't be at home to watch it.
Yeah. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, look, obviously, having a 52-inch HD TV, that's where I want to be watching most of my Olympics. But, we can't always be at home all the time for the entire duration. So having it available via mobile is definitely enticing. And a lot of people want to go about their daily lives but not miss out on the action. So I'm not surprised. Actually, I am that it's only 40%. I expect probably more will it at some stage watch the Olympics via mobile.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen the Foxtel up yet for the Olympics?
I have, yes, indeed. What do you think of it?
I love it. What do you think of it? Oh, I like it.
Yeah, not too bad. As you know, I reviewed the Foxtel for Xbox 360 during the week for you.
You did, mate.
I hope you enjoyed the review. It seems like good feedback.
Yeah, great feedback, mate. Great. Well, I'll chat to you about that in a minute after the news. Robert, are you going to be watching the Olympics?
Sure am.
Where are you, mate? At home or on your iPad or what?
I think a bit of a mix. I mean, the one thing about being in Australia with the time change is that it's on, it's always on a crazy time.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's good to have a whole
bunch of them. Have you got Foxtel?
I got Foxtel on my TV. I haven't got the app yet, be sure to get that before it kicks off.
Yeah, well, if you've got the sports package, mate, you can watch the 8 channels for free.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, what else, Jody? What else has been happening?
Well, I'm sure you guys have heard about Marissa Mayer, formerly of Google, now CEO of Yahoo. She's moving into two tough jobs this week, taking the helm at Yahoo on Wednesday and becoming a mom in October. so a lot of question about whether this was a good move for her or not, because Yahoo has been having all kinds of difficulty. Plus, you know, just trying to figure out who they are. 61% of people say they think of Yahoo as a technology company. 73% think of Yahoo as a content and media company. And almost two-thirds, 63% of people, don't want to see Mayer turn Yahoo into a social media company. So, I mean, that's like, to me, that's like all across the board. And I'm just curious, first of all, what your reaction is about women in high-powered jobs, specifically Melissa Mayer, and whether you guys think this was a power play on the part of Google or totally independent of Google.
My understanding is that she approached Google for the position. Sorry, she approached Yahoo for the position. That they didn't contact her, and the part of the reason that she was motivated to leave Google was that they formed a new group at the top. Involving five males, and she was clearly excluded from that. So essentially her progress up the ladder inside Google had, you know, reached as far as it was going to go. So her only option really was to move sideways.
And so moving to Yahoo, I see them on different levels, I guess. Google is, very productive right now. They're in a good place economically. Yahoo, on the other hand, stumbled, was it last week, where they had that big rift with all of the exposed passwords. And they've just been struggling trying to figure out who they are.
Oh, an amazing challenge for her. Incredibly brave to take on both the CEO position and having a baby at the same time. And I think the only way that can work is that she will likely have, you know, three or four things that in mind that she wants to implement straight away. And while she's off having the baby, she can direct the people below her to go and execute on those things. They can play out over the next few months. She'll return and do it full time. You know, she's obviously wealthy enough to have all the support in the world to help her out on the baby side of things. So I'm really keen to have somebody like Marissa, who has that developer background at the top and in control of a company like Yahoo, and rather than them appoint, you know, the typical, you know, 50 to 60 year old male, that's what they've had before and it hasn't worked. So I'm really enthused to see what she does with the company.
Good points. All good points.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Steve, what is your thought on this?
I guess she wasn't, you know, the direction she was going in Google, she wasn't happy with it. Well, from what it sounds like I said, I hadn't read the news article, but so for her to go into Yahoo is, I think, I don't know, it's a risky move, but I think it's a good move just as well, because you can't make a big return without taking risks sometimes, and so you know, why not?
Mm. What about you?
And they're estimating her compensation above $50 million, so I think that's probably an incentive as well.
Yep, definitely. What about you, Robert? What's your view on this story, mate?
Yeah, I think on the one hand, it's a risky move, because Yahoo's obviously had a bunch of troubles in the last, you know, couple of years and moved through a whole series of CEOs. I think for her personally, though, if she manages to pull it off and really turn Yahoo around, she'll deservedly get a lot of credit. But if she doesn't, you know, then not even Marissa Mayer could have fixed Yahoo, and that's a... So I'm not sure there's that much downside risk for her. I think she's got a big opportunity to do something that so far the four previous CEOs in the last 12 months haven't managed to do. I think she'll be up for the challenge.
Cool. All right, Jay, any other news stories?
That's pretty much it for today. I figured we'd jump into.
All right. All right. Let's talk to Rob about the Tonight app. Jason, you got the app? Did you download the app, mate?
I have indeed. Yeah, tried it out this morning.
Cool as.
So one of the interesting things that I'll point out is, like, on a Friday or Saturday night, I'll usually jump on Twitter and search for Friday night or Saturday night and see what people are up to. So this is a different way of essentially getting that same information.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great app. So Robert, so tell us about the app, mate.
Yeah, sure. So I suppose, I mean, it's interesting you brought it up like that with, you know, people are trying to find out what others in their cities or suburbs are doing via Twitter and Facebook. And I think one of the things we realized is it's just so much noise on those networks now that they're great for sort of sitting back and almost passively consuming information. But if you actually want to get something targeted, like where are your friends tonight or where's going to be, you know, the hot bar or club tonight, it's actually really difficult to make sense through that noise. So we decided to create an app that just really just does that. It sort of cuts through all the clutter and gives you what we think is like a key piece of information to actually be social offline, not just online. The app itself, we released it officially a couple months ago. We just did a big update this morning.
Yep.
And I suppose our mantra is really that. We want to create a social network for after dark, but a social network that really is about being social offline. As much as
on. Sure, for sure. So the app is the app made for at night time, isn't it? It's made for night time.
Yeah, it is. What we decided was to focus on literally just tonight. So yeah. So tonight in name and tonight in nature. Mm-hmm. It's you literally just get to share what you're doing that night, one night at a time.
Yep.
One of the great things about that is it keeps things really simple. And philosophically, we quite like the idea that, you know, you become deliberate about your night. So as soon as you start thinking about sharing what you're doing tonight and seeing what your friends are doing, you're far more likely to actually sit back and say, well, I should do something cool because it sort of causes you to think about what you're going to be doing with your free time.
Okay, cool. All right. Questions? Any questions, Steve?
Well, I know me and Jody were kind of, you know, talking about it, you know, in the pre-show and... I don't know how to put this up. We kind of thought it was kind of like of a hookup, you know, meet, you know, boy meets girl type of thing. And I don't, you know,
see how Steve blames me.
Yeah, I said we, not, you know, just you. So, but is it more on social, like, you know, men and women, or just anybody in general, or?
No, it's really anyone in general. I mean, I think a few people have seen it like that, so don't worry, you haven't shocked me. It is about introducing you to new people. So whether that's in a romantic setting or otherwise, it's quite interesting. You'll see on the app, you can share with your friends, but you can also share publicly. And it sort of gives you quite an interesting piece of information because you get to see what a whole bunch of people that are also going out in your city that night, but who you don't know, what they're doing. So... And our primary purpose isn't at all to make something that's, you know, for getting people together romantically. But, you know, if that happens, that's fine too.
Oh, I got another quick question too, because I tried to download it and it seems to be only available in maybe the UK and maybe Australia. Is it eventually going to be available in the US?
Yeah, so that's right. So it's actually only available in Australia and New Zealand at the moment, and we definitely have plans to be in the US. So I'd look out for it in probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, cool. So it is coming out.
Yep.
It's definitely coming out, and it'll be there shortly, yeah.
Nice. So tell us about in the new update today, Robert. What's in the new update that came out today?
Sure. So there's a really whole bunch of stuff. I suppose the most obvious, which is what you'll see when as you open the app, is we've done a lot of work to make the design simpler, mm-hmm. So people can navigate it easier. We've redesigned the friend screen, so there's now a really nice looking almost dashboard that you can get a snapshot of what your friends are doing. So it's split up into your friends going out, your friends staying in, and your friends that aren't sure.
Cool.
That was quite a big piece. We've also included a location element to it, which wasn't there before. So we'll now be able to show you public plans, but we can start to make them more relevant by drawing sort of a radius around where you are and only showing you the plans from people closer to you. We've sort of enhanced the nudge feature, which we think is quite cool and is unique to this app. So what a nudge is that lets you send any of your friends or a group of your friends at once a push notification saying, what are you doing tonight? And it's sort of captures both sides of the equation. So on the one hand, you can share what you're doing, but you also don't have to wait for your friends to share. You can actually prompt them to share. On the tech side, we've also really done a lot of work to make that faster. So when Instagram was sold recently, they released the great deck around how they made their app faster with caching and pre-populating things and that. And we sort of paid heed to a lot of those lessons. So I think you'll find as you use the app and clicking on plans and commenting, it all happens now really almost instantaneously. We put a lot of work into that. And then we've also, the final thing was we've actually changed the friending relationships. So it used to work that you would just follow someone in a similar way to Twitter.
Yeah.
What we found now, what people are asking for is to have a friend relationship more similar to Facebook. So you'll now send people a friend request and they can choose to confirm that request or not.
Yep.
And what that will really do for us is it integrates the network more and people will sort of have more control over who they're sharing with and when.
Cool. So you have to sign in with logging with Facebook, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So you log in with Facebook and that's sort of makes the signing process really easy, doing it on Facebook Connect. So we instantly can build your profile. We can also instantly tell you which of your Facebook friends are already using Tonight. So you can then choose to, you know, add them as a Tonight friend or not. And we can also then make it easy for you to pull in your other Facebook friends by sending them invites.
Oh, nice.
Go to their walls, yeah.
Sweet. How long have you been around for?
So we soft launched the app earlier this year, and then we had our official launch on the 17th of May, where we actually had what turned out to be a massive launch party in Sydney. About 3,500 people showed up.
Wow.
So that really kicked things off nicely. And now it's just, we've just really since then, our focus has been just perfecting the app and trying to just learn as much as we can from our users and feed that back into the product.
Cool. You any questions, Jason?
I do. Is there any plans to implement like trends? Like what are the most common things that people are doing?
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to introduce that over time. I think one of the things we need for that to make it, you know, relevant is just enough critical mass of people sharing. A similar aspect, which is something we'll also do once there's sort of more content on there, is give people an insight into what venues are like before they leave the house. So, like at the moment, you can go into Yelp and you can find out, like you can get reviews on the actual place. And there are a whole bunch of apps where you can get reviews on, you know, the food and the drinks and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But what you can't do is find out who's actually going to be there. And when you're making decisions about going out at night, like that's actually really crucial information. So in addition to trends, I think what we'll be able to do eventually is we'll be able to give you an insight to say, you know, this particular bar has these friends of yours going. It also has this other group of people going. You know, some of them were there the last time you were there. To Steve's point before, you know, we'll be able to give you some social stats. You know, 60% of the people there are male, 40% are female. And I think you can start providing people with some really interesting insights that just haven't been available until now.
Okay. Interesting. So what's the plan? Any other plans for the app in the future, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, we'll continue building it. So we got a bunch more features that we want to integrate. We'd love to have the ability to follow places and sort of personalities, not just your friends. So we think it would be quite interesting to be able to follow, you know, your local bars and restaurants and clubs to see what's going on there on a nightly basis. But also follow just interesting people in your city. So, you know, whether it's chefs or bartenders or authors or whatever your interests are, we think there's quite an interesting element there that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And then expansion to the US is a big part of our plans at the moment. So we're making sure we get everything right first, but we'd like to make a big splash there.
Cool. What about iPad? Is it going to come on the iPad anytime soon?
Probably not just yet. I think in terms of platforms, we'll probably, our next step is to build an Android version, which we don't have yet.
Oh, yeah, Android, yep.
And then, imagine iPad will follow and probably an HTML5 version as well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have another question quickly. How are you guys making money? It's a free app.
Yeah, it's a free app. So the short answer is we're not at the moment. I think where there's potential to make a lot of money in the future, which is the direction we're going down, is really just enhancing people's nights. So if you tell us you're going to a particular bar, or you share that with your friends, we can, you know, recommend a restaurant across the street that you go to first. We could potentially help you get a cab to get there. So it's really going to be, what we don't want to do is just slap banner ads on it. What we do want to do is just find ways that we can actually help people. As I was saying before, it's all about being, you know, social offline. So if we can help you have a better experience offline by giving you easy access to services or deals or suggestions for places that you didn't know existed, like, we think that could actually be a really interesting way to not, one, on the one hand, make money, but I think on the other hand, just give our users a better, like, real-world experience.
Nice.
All right. JD, any other things you want to ask Robert?
No, I guess we don't have it yet here in the States, but do you see it kind of competing, let's say, with Foursquare in a way?
I'm not sure it competes with Foursquare. They are sort of similar. I think that the differences, you know, there's so many social apps out today. The differences are quite nuanced. We're not as location-centric as people-centric. So you'll find when you do share a plan on tonight, it's a bit more like Twitter. You literally, it's just a free-flow text box, and you don't have to share a location. The other things that are quite unique about tonight is that we actually, because we focused on just tonight, we clear the entire data feed the following morning, which is really quite different to Foursquare, but also, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all these other services where people are accumulating this history of data that they may or may not want others to see in the future. So one of the things people have really responded well to with tonight is that the next morning we literally clear the entire feed from public view and it starts again. So there's no, it kind of alleviates that whole concern, you know, what happens in Vegas stays on Facebook. We really just want to be about getting you out, getting you being social, and you don't need a digital record of that that follows you around to your next job or, you know, your next girlfriend or whatever it is. So I think there are quite a few sort of nuanced differences from those bigger networks, but there are a lot of overlaps in social at the moment, I think.
All right.
Okay, so that answers kind of, because I was going to ask also if you were going to have any kind of like a integration with a map or something so you could see who was nearby and connect with them, but apparently it's not that type of application.
Yeah, I think that stuff starts to happen naturally. So what we wanted to do was we thought a lot about this, like what information people should share and what we should require them to share and what people want to share. And one of the things we realized was that when you talk to your friends about your plans for tonight in the real world, you generally aren't going to give them, you know, 12 data fields of time, date, location, you know, who the attendees are. You're not going to give them a map with a pin on it. You're just going to say, let's grab, so there's a bar down the road from our place. You'll say, let's grab a drink at the crossing. And what we wanted to do is really reflect that real world colloquial style communication. So we don't require people to, you know, fill in a whole bunch of fields because it's just not how people communicate in the real world. So we've tried to put that sort of user-centric view ahead of having a fixed set of data that we require users to share. So what we're finding is naturally some people do share the actual location, but in general, their friends know what they mean when they talk about a particular bar. They don't actually have to put it on a map. But I think over time we'll continue to learn and see what people want and, you know, iterate and adapt.
Cool.
All right. So is that it? Robert, any you want to add anything else before you go, mate? Any other – I haven't got any more questions, but Jason, got any more questions?
No, that's all, man. It's been good.
That's been good. Yeah, thanks, Robert, for coming up, mate.
No worries.
Where can they find you on Twitter and stuff and that sort of good stuff?
Yeah, so our website is maketonightcount.com.
All right.
And we're at tonightout on Twitter.
Sweet. All right, you want to hang around, mate?
Yeah, happy to.
All right, good stuff. All right, Jason, what's been happening with the Foxtel app, mate?
Yeah, so the video review went up this week, yep, and basically just covered the features and functionality of the app. Some of the downsides, I guess, just wanted to highlight that the app really does need some updates, especially in terms of speed.
Mm.
And the functionality improvement I'd really be after the main one is just being able to have a TV guide that is dedicated to the package that you're on.
Mm.
So you don't hit on a channel and then get prompted to upgrade to other channels. So it's obviously great for Foxtel to do that, the upsell, but for the consumer, it's not a nice experience. So
right,
if they can speed things up and make that change, I think it's going to be pretty good. But obviously heading into the Olympics, there's those 8 channels available.
Cool.
For $50. So I'm heavily considering getting that.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. Is that worth the money or?
Well, I mean, it depends how big you are into sport, right?
Yeah, definitely.
If Olympics are big for you, then this is a way to get it very quickly. You know, you don't have to have the guy come out, put the satellite on your roof and all that sort of jazz. You can just decide the day before, sign up, buy the package, and you're good to go.
Definitely. You're a big pun, aren't you?
I am indeed. So that's all I needed.
Yeah, it's all I needed. Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing about having that for yourself. So do you enjoy it? Are you watching it much or you haven't probably got the time to do?
When I have time, absolutely. Yeah, just not enough of it.
Fair enough. Now, what about Kinect? Have you used Kinect on it yet?
I have, yeah. So one of the things I did leave out of the review, there's always things when you do a review, you go, oh, I should have added that in. But yeah, very quickly, one of the comments that came out was, hey, you can just navigate to the channel by using your voice. So definitely a great way to get around the app.
Definitely. And what about channels? Do you reckon they'll add some more channels in the future?
I would expect so, yeah. All that stuff should be driven by consumer demand. So, you know, if you reach out to them on Twitter or any of the networks, tell them what people want. And if enough people want the same thing, then hopefully they'll respond to that.
Definitely. And you reckon it's worth the money to have that sort of thing? Because I remember asking you a while back, you said you wasn't a fan of Foxtel.
Yeah, look, you know, we all have enough monthly bills. And, you know, when you look at adding another one, you always sort of question that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really just going to play out over time and see how much I use it. But being able to go month to month is fantastic. So, you know, with no contract, there's really very low commitment. If it's $30 this month and then next month you decide that you don't want to watch anything, you don't have to pay it. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, the main reason I got it because I want to get for Sons of Anarchy. They're going to show them the new season of Sons of Anarchy on there.
Yep.
Which you can't get on free air. So.
Yeah, very individual decision, I think.
Yeah, very cool. Great show. What about you, Robert? Have you used it on the Xbox, mate? You have an Xbox?
I don't have an Xbox, actually.
So, oh, you do?
But I do have a Foxtel box, so I presume they can get the Olympic channels as well.
Yeah.
But the Xbox is yet.
So you haven't got an Xbox, mate?
No.
Oh, you haven't got one, okay. All right. Okay, and what about you, Steve? Now, you got your cable box updated, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, it's... there was initially some trouble trying to get it to work. Normally, they actually send you all the equipment. It's called like a starter kit. It includes the modem and the cable box. Now, the modem worked right out of the box. Just hook it up and it worked. Cable box, not so much. They came over and supposedly they went out to the box outside to do something and it worked fine.
Oh.
And I actually get all 100 channels working where the other two cable providers, I really only got like 65 channels. Now I get like, you know... Not saying I'm going to watch them all, but, you know, at least I get something for my money.
That's a lot of channels to watch.
Yeah, at the same time. No, just one at a time.
All right. What else, Chase, have you been up to, mate? Any other things you've been up to? Any other exciting stuff?
Me?
Yeah.
Just these video goggles, man. I got them yesterday. Uh-huh. I'm heading to the snow next weekend to do some snowboarding.
Nice.
So there's a record in 720. And, yeah, no doubt you'll see a few of those videos go up.
Good stuff. And give us a quick background on what you do about the website and stuff and what you do on the site.
TechAU.tv started just over 5 years ago. Been building steadily. Put the word out a couple of years ago to have a couple of new writers come on.
Yep.
We're up to about, I think, somewhere in the vicinity of around 14 to 15 people have posted articles at TechAU now.
Good
and yeah, it's been building steadily. Doing good stuff, technology coverage wherever we can, going to events and things like that.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, good on you. That's good. Very cool.
Galantis was in Sydney for the Imagine Cup.
Okay.
Students doing fantastic things, so cool. Something to watch out for the future.
Yeah, definitely. What about the other project you're working on, Constructive?
Constructive, absolutely. So I've been busy on other projects, so it's just time to get right back into Constructive now and entering what's called phase two. So moving from building the dedicated site where people can submit their product ideas and improvements, their constructive criticism and feedback, if you like, to now trying to capture what's already out there online. So bringing those into, you know, the posts on Twitter and Facebook and other networks, bringing them in to display them in an interesting way.
All right, nice. And what about your podcast? Is that coming to a halt, or is it still doing that?
So I've been rethinking, like, you know, the time is the biggest thing. So yeah, it was taking me around 8 hours to produce an episode of this video podcast. That's film, edit, publish. So it's a long process. And so I've got to weigh that time up against writing articles. And I could put out 3 or 4 articles in that same time. So, you know, you've got to toss up where my time is better spent. But when I bring it back, it's going to be a feature. That's what I've sort of decided, is okay, rather than just covering the tech topic news, because that's covered on the blog, I'll do feature podcasts. So okay, I'll pick a topic and cover that in depth.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Sounds good. So how do you prepare to do a post and that sort of thing? And that's good stuff.
A post or a podcast?
Both, because you did some pretty good videos.
Yeah, look, it's really whatever takes my interest, to be honest. You know, one of the great things about running your own site is you don't have other people telling you what you need to write about.
Exactly. Definitely.
If something's interesting and I think is going to be interesting to my readers, I write about it. And if it's a run-of-the-mill, you know, product from a company trying to catch up that doesn't do anything interesting, I won't write about it.
Cool. And what's your favorite product you've read so far on your site?
Oh, my favorite product is, there's been so many. I do have a love affair with my Sonos system.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites. Sometimes you get review products and you tell the company, look, how much to buy it, because I'm not sending this back to you, it's too good. And that was one of those examples.
And you're keeping it?
I bought it. So,
oh, cool. Yep. Good stuff. So what, they send you products review, or do you email them, or...?
Look, combination of both. I get approached fairly often to review stuff, and it depends on if I have time, or, you know, sometimes I'll seek it out. So they'll make the product announcement and then I'll say, look, you've got to get that to me. I would definitely want to review that. So,
okay. Yep. Good stuff. That's good, mate. What's coming up for the reviews? Any other products coming up? Or?
There'll definitely be a review on these video goggles. Yep. There's also a VPN product I'm working on at the moment.
Nice.
So a couple in the pipeline for this week.
Good stuff. And what about BoxyBox? They've been pretty quiet. They haven't been doing many updates. Have you been using your BoxyBox much?
Yeah, look, pretty disappointed in the update cycle. They were very rapid initially, and now they're sort of gone quiet. So I do turn it on from time to time when there's nothing on TV, get some content over the internet. But I still love it. It's a great device. I just like to see some updates.
Yeah, same. I've seen a lot of really less TV shows on there and stuff now. It's been disappointing, and you know,
some of those partnerships have dropped off clearly.
I think so. And what about you, Steve? What do you have any questions for Jason?
I was thinking of coming out, you know, of course they got Google goggles,
right?
I was thinking of coming out with a product called beer goggles.
Nice.
Right, how would that work?
You know, because usually, you know, you see this woman, you know, so the goggles actually see her, what she really looks like, you know. I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's proprietary stuff, but it's being worked on.
You mean you just rub Vaseline on your glasses and that's...
I hear they use paper bags for that.
All right, check out techau.tv. It's a great site, man, and yeah, it's great work you do there.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jody, any questions for Jason before we go?
No, I'm really glad to meet you. I've been following. I like the site. I like the videos. Curious, the Carbonite connection. Are you still doing stuff with Carbonite?
No, they asked me to. They basically interviewed me and said, you know, what's your data usage like? And, you know, being a lover of technology, mine is sort of atypical to most. So, you know, I have a home server with many terabytes of storage. And so I said to them, you know, what's your solution really for me to back that up to the cloud? And the answer was pretty much I would need to ship the drives to them so they don't.
Wow.
Until we get the NBN and we have that faster upload speeds, it's just not practical for us to do that upload. But I mean, if the standard user is going to have a laptop, they get Carbonite and they're happy, but yeah, it doesn't work for me.
All right,
gotcha.
Good stuff. Robert, any questions for Jason at all?
No, nothing from my
nothing?
End.
All right. Okay, well, just make sure you check out his site, and it's great stuff. Steve, what do you want to say before we go?
No, that was it, I think.
All right, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Brad Ozen at Tech Webcast. Jason, where can they get you at, mate?
TechAU.tv or at TechAU on Twitter.
Nice. Steve?
Oh, you can find me here on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude and on Twitter as Cheddarbox_live.
All right, and Jody?
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SunSwept. Find me online at my website, webmarcom.net.
Cool.
Always here at Tech Webcast, right. And everywhere else is Jody Rains.
Good stuff. And Robert, where can they find you, mate?
Yes, on Twitter, it's F9F or @RobKowalski. That's KAWALSKY. And the web address is makesnightcount.com.
All right, I didn't really understand what you were saying there, but anyway, right, that's it. Check out Aussie Tech Heads. Steve, you watched Aussie Tech Heads?
It's been a while. I did kind of check it out. I think like they had some audio issues, so I actually went online to check that out.
This gets replayed on Aussie Tech Heads every Thursday night at 7 p.m., so make sure you check that out. It's a great show they do every week. So they're up to nearly 200 episodes. Good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we're up to nearly 200 next in about 2 weeks. So
awesome.
Stay tuned for that. Thanks, guys, for coming on. Appreciate it, Jason.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on. It's been great to meet you guys.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Definitely.
Look forward to coming on back in the future.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, anytime, mate. And thank you to Robert, too. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for having me.
And go download the Tonight app right now.
Thanks.
And just hit pause in the podcast while you do it.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!